Okay, good morning. Michal's away, so I am filling in for her and me, representing two, so I can speak more openly. No, that's fine. I can speak the same.
The record.
I know. Hopefully she won't listen. We shall see. Okay. Anybody have any comments, questions, anything about last time?
The question I have is if you posted.
They are, yeah.
Why you
Torah? If I remember, I'll try to send you. I'll try to send you the link. But they are. Until last week's post. So last week's is still on here. So today I'll try to maybe, if I remember, do post these two. Okay. So we have again. I know there's a lot of repetition here, but it's for a reason, and he's going to explain that a little bit further now. But I think. Hopefully in a way that we can appreciate. So if you look on page Ayin Vav, so he explains like this, in the middle, in the bolded part, and Mayim Shochakim Evan Al Yedei Avodat Tmidis Umim Mushachas. Right, it brings to mind immediately the story of Rabbi Akiva, right, when the water drips, you know, consistently on a rock, right, even water can break the rock, but it's not going to happen right away. It takes time. So, referring back to the a little bit to the mashal that he said beforehand, and the last thing that he said last time was that the same way when you have a child, so if you want to teach the child something, even if it's something which you can, you know, is way below your intellectual ability, like the Aleph Beis, something like that. So you have the patience and you have the ability to sit with the child again and again and go over it, and the child asks questions, as opposed to if you were, somebody told you, go study the Aleph Beis for 10 minutes after going through it once. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this anymore? And his point was, is that the heart and the body are and the mind are so separate that it could be that for our hearts, they're still at the point of needing to have things explained slowly and clearly, even if we assume that we already know it. But once a child starts reading, you don't start teaching the child Zohar, because now the child understands things, so why don't I just start there? Everything has to be according to the level. So we have to figure out at what level our hearts are in order to be able to figure out what the best way to talk to the heart is. So he writes like this. Nizbonin pan nosef is b'mashal, referring back to the previous example, v'navinas hadvarim lomkamen, hopefully we can understand the depths. La'adam yesh yad katan, so a person has a small child. V'humi unyan l'haskil l'lamdo sisodes ha'amuna. So now let's shift gears slightly. So you have the child, and it's true with a small child, but in the end, as we'll see, the ideas are true with any child. You get to a point, and you want to teach the child the basics of faith in Hashem, and you want to start that at a young age. So kishayela niye ben shalosh hukori l'chadev omerlo. So what does the parent do? Child turns 3 years old. You know, come sit down with me in my on the couch. Let's have a talk. And he says, yeshli yadia chashuva l'omerlach. I have something critical that you need to know. Yadia she'alach lizkor osakoy mechayecha, and you have to remember this for the rest of your life. No, Shoel Hayeled, the child that's, you know, excited, okay, you know, mommy, daddy, what are you going to tell me? My idea, Da l'cha sheyesh borei olam. You have to always remember there's a creator of the world, v'hu bara sakol, and he created you, he created everything that we have around. Zoi ha'yediyah chashuva sheratisi l'msor l'cha. This is the important piece of knowledge that I wanted to give over to you. And then the father or the parent says, V'yoser lo azkir l'cha. So it's so important that you have to remember this. I'm never going to tell this to you again. File this away. You have to always remember it. Zeu zeh, hinchat tzara chadash yesh borei v'lo tzidishka chosah. Remember this. I've told it to you now. And make sure you remember it. So he says, obviously, that's crazy. It makes no sense to do that, right? Tfisa she'er yele ben shalosh ina gavoh b'miuchad. The depth of understanding of a 3-year-old is not that great. And his ability to analyze and really understand information also is lacking. Memela, so what happens? Achareisha over yomo yomayim, so a day or two pass. Vaday lachar chodesh, and certainly after a month, or chachayim, or 2 months, im aviv lo yazkir lo shubet sayidiyah, if the parent doesn't remind the child, sheyesh bori olam, this important piece of knowledge that you wanted to give over, that there's a creator, kimat vada sheben yishkach sos, it's almost certain the child is going to forget. So now the child is, 18 years old, and is, doing things that the parent is not particularly proud of, and the child and the parent's screaming, I told you, there's a creator of the world. What are you doing? You have to listen. There's a Torah and there's mitzvahs, and you have to listen to it. And I told you, I'm never going to tell you again. You had to remember it. So pashut bara she'elu divrei hevel. It's ridiculousness. You can't have such a system. You can't expect that it's going to work. There's no way for the child, when the information was given over, to be able to inculcate it, to be able to appreciate it, and to be able to listen to it. So obviously, if you want to give over the information to a child, this is not the way to do it. It's not the way to do it. It can't be this one shot and, remember it forever. So how do you do it? So harotze la'avod b'tzura amitis. If you want to do it in the right way, so what do you do? K'shu holech barachov v'yore geshem. So you're walking with your child, and it can be a young child, along the street, and it's raining. So shol espinosi, you ask the child, mimo v'yores ha'geshem, where does the rain come from? And what made it start raining? Who made it start raining? And the little child will say, "In any odeya, right? I don't know, the clouds." And we'll start saying something. But I don't know, who? What do you mean, who? Who? Tomar li, uvai tomar li, atami. So you tell me who. And the parent responds, "Haribono shalom, who's Hashemor is Hageshem? The water that comes down comes from Hashem. Hashem decides when's it going to rain, where it's going to rain, and what rain is needed." V'kachu choser umashir shlo sayesod azepam. And by doing this in different circumstances, time and time again, that's what gives over the information to the child. So it's a matter of, again, and it's with younger children, and it's with older children, obviously in a different way. You're not going to say to your teenager, where does the rain come from? I mean, maybe you could, but it's probably not going to go very far. But in other contexts, if there's a frustration or something happens, to be able to say, but again, it has to be a saying with a belief. If we say it and we don't believe it, or we say it and we don't think it, or we say it and we don't act that way, and to connect it to Hashem, to a Ribono Shel Olam, that the reason that, I wanted a job, I wanted whatever it was to happen, or I went to the store and it closed early, and you're all annoyed. I said, okay, I guess that's what Hashem wanted, and maybe I needed to be here for something else. Whatever the reason is, if we think and talk in such, that leaves a roshem, that leaves an imprint. And again, it's that way. Again, I'm sure everybody has their experiences, but in general, if you try to lecture children about things, it doesn't work the same way as giving over, as life events happen, the ideas that you would want to give over. To get the child to come sit down after school and then just learn more, most children are not at the end of the day, and with the ridiculous amount of homework that people get nowadays, a topic for a different time. All of those things, the child is done. The brains need to rest. But if you can give it over in such a way that when it's snowing, when something happens, all these things, and make Hashem part of the conversation, that's a way of relating it to the heart. So it's through the repetition, and it's through the way that it's given over. But a one-time knowledge, that's not gonna cut it. So if a person, Adam shesomech al kach sheyelad yigdal v'yishma sichos, if a person is going to rely on the fact, say, okay, listen, I taught the basics, but the child will go to school and they'll talk about emunah, and they'll talk about Hashem, and they'll talk about all the things that they need, and they'll get it all at school. Alav ladas shemuna social haben tiyeh reduda. You should just realize that it's going to be a weak form of emunah. If it's only given over in lecture form, in yeshiva, in school, in other contexts, that's not what's going to leave the imprint. That's not what's going to leave the impact. If it's not something which from the beginning that a parent tries to give over to a child, if it wasn't something that the child was, you know, breathing in the air of the house and was living it, it is not going to work. I'll go out on a limb a little bit here. This is an area where, again, I don't want to say the obligation. I think obligation is the wrong word. It is an opportunity that women have more than men. And to create an atmosphere, and now men can ruin the atmosphere in the home, there's no question about that. But to create the atmosphere in the home doesn't work. It doesn't, there are exceptions to every rule. But a mother has a way of setting up in a softer way a tone in the home which the children sense and they feel. And the more, you know, academic is the wrong word, but, you know, lecturing style that most men have is not what's going to leave the imprint on the children. Again, it won't necessarily undermine it. Other things can undermine it. But again, that opportunity, that's actually why I think Rav Meir Shapiro said that's why he thought, and then maybe that's the shot in the Pasuk also, it's like, the Beis Yaakov refers to the women because the women have the ability to establish the atmosphere in the atmosphere in the home, and the children sense it. Again, I think it's an opportunity more than it's more than an obligation, but it's something which is which leaves a bigger imprint. And again, it often is the case that the children are with the mother more, and how a mother is going to respond. And again, it's at every age. It's with little children, and it's when the children are older. Also, these lessons never go bad. The way that a parent, and particularly a mother, responds when things, let's say, don't go right, is going to leave an impact on the child. Of how do you respond when things don't go the way that you want it? You know, to tell a child, you know, when they're frustrated, you know, okay, you know, you we do the best you can. That's what, obviously what Hashem wanted, but they know that when you're frustrated, you're yelling and screaming, there's a contradiction there. It can't only be it's what Hashem wanted when the child is frustrated, but when something goes wrong for you, it can't be that way. That's not what I wanted. So it's a unique opportunity. It's that Torah Simecha that the Rav spoke about, which he said in terms of Shabbos. He said he learned Hilchos Shabbos from his father, but he learned what the feeling of Shabbos was from his mother, and understood what a house is like when it comes to Shabbos. And his father didn't do any of that. His father was sitting and learning, and his father certainly created a positive, you know, that's a positive atmosphere, but that wasn't one that was going to give over a tam, a hergish, a feeling for what Judaism is. And that's what he's saying here, is it's that more than anything else that leaves an impact on the heart. Because it penetrates the heart. And again, in the same way that he's been saying all along, that the things that are true, the heart senses on its own without it. It doesn't even have to necessarily go through the brain. It's not necessarily something that the child is going to process in the conscious, but it enters into the home. You know, the way a mother, again, if the child is there, if a child sees how a mother davens over the Shabbos candles, all these kinds of things leave a real impact. And it's much more than any of the other ones. And yeah, and it's the repetition that creates the environment. But it's all of those things that create that firm foundation. Okay, it's a little bit of an aside, but again, I think that's really what he says. Again, she's not here, so I can say a little. That's what happens in no question in my house. It's not anything positive that comes out of my house has nothing to do with me. But there's an environment that's created that you just have to try to support and not mess up. But again, it's not. There are few men that can create that on their at all, and certainly on their own. Again, they have to be on board, otherwise they're going to mess things up like men normally do. But yeah.
I think it's important for women to kind of support each other, and I don't know, it's like every community is more comfortable to bring in Hashem in their vernacular. And it's, I don't know, I just think it's important. I found it difficult here for to bring in Hashem in my vernacular and people not to look at me like,
yeah, I spoke about this once in Shul. I find it strange. Again, somebody told me that they think I'm wrong, but which is possible, but happens occasionally. But I once spoke about how you have athletes and people, and I assume this one also, but generally that the President of the United States has no problem invoking God in a speech, in a, you know, God bless America, and you know, thing, you know, athletes all the time. Again, they probably don't mean it. Maybe they do. You know, I only have this talent because I've got, whatever. Maybe they mean it, but they say it. And yet, when, you know, we talk to somebody in the community to say, you know, Baruch Hashem, thank God, yeah, sometimes they do look at you like you're from Mars. I don't get it.
I think it has to see. I can only speak to the
people you speak to.
School, yeah, yeah. My kids went to. It's not in the schools.
Oh, I think that's, I think that's, I think overall, I think that's, overall, I think that's a very correct assessment. I don't really want to indict all the schools. I think we teach much more to the brain than we do to the heart.
Yeah.
Overall, again, there are exceptions. There are phenomenal teachers who have the ability to do both. There are some teachers who can do only the heart and don't really succeed other half. And I'm not. And maybe that's more valuable at certain ages. We live in an academic system where everything has to be so precise in terms of this has to equal this. And there are certain things that don't add up, that this particular lesson is going to lead to this result. You know, if you're teaching science, you're teaching math. So again, there are very clear goals. So you have to teach, you know, A, B, and C. When you're teaching Torah, so there are other things. Again, I have this year is my first year. Azrieli told us my first year teaching ever, but teaching high school, which apparently nothing else counts. So I'm teaching in TABC. I have the top share in TABC this year, and part of I feel like it's a tremendous responsibility. Is I go off on tangents all the time to try and then teach other things besides the Gemara that we're learning in terms of hashkafa, in terms of a feeling, in terms of what learning is about. We learn this. Fridays, we have a short period. We learn Bilvav Mishkan Efna with my juniors and seniors on Fridays before, at the end of the day. So that's the last thing that we do.
High schools, though, they teach more than elementary.
High schools do a little bit more. I think it's a little because they realize that when it's lacking, that it causes problems, and then they try to make it up, I think. Again, I don't want to. I don't think it's true across the board. I wouldn't want to say that. I don't think it's a curriculum goal. It might be a stated goal, but I don't think there's anything in the curriculum which leads to that.
So you have people, if you have all mothers that are saying, you know, like we all say, we're driving in New York City, like, thank you, Hashem, you know, I got a parking spot. Like, we know that's not an easy thing. And
well, you know, they tell that story about the guy who's looking for the parking spot. You know, please, Hashem, help me get a parking spot. Mm-hmm. And he pulls up, there's a spot there, goes, on, no, I don't need you anymore, I got one. I got one on my own. So, there's an iron, there's a truth to it.
If what we really believe every day, when every little thing happens, when we, you know, and I don't think that it comes from the school. I really think that it comes from the home. My home, I didn't come from a religious home, but we knew that God ran the world.
Right. I think more on this has to come from the home. I think it's a bigger point in general that I think people are relying on the schools for too much and not doing as much as they should at home. Again, it's the nature of our, unfortunately, very busy lifestyles. But if we're not doing it and the schools, it's not a major goal, then our kids don't have it.
So that's why I think it's important that women support each other in terms of helping them see what
they
when I see things, I try to model it at home. Same thing with other people. So if we see, you know, what that looks like.
Right. I think that's true. Again, that's really what I was trying to get at now, right? Any opportunities, again, that's what, you know, to talk about things that happen over the course of the week that I mentioned, you know, a bunch of weeks ago, Hashkacha Pratis or things like that. I guess this week at the table, I said to anybody, I asked the kids, if anybody has Hashkacha Pratis story. And my storyteller child, The longest I couldn't figure out. She's like, I'm not sure this is Hashgacha Pratis. She's going on it. In the end, she managed to get Hashgacha Pratis out of it. I think she just wanted to talk for a while. But I think that comes from, again, having heard it many, many times. Not from me, but these are things which get discussed, and if they aren't spoken about, it's not going to come on its own, and it's not a major part of our, and it's something which, again, it's not just parents, you know, grandparents can do it. It's a matter of just what children hear and what children absorb, and again, it's not brainwashing, it's just having them appreciate that when normal things happen, it associates back to Hashem, and it just retrains the mind, and more importantly, the heart, to think about it differently.
When my kids were in school, I guess I didn't have expectations of both, so to speak. So that one year in seventh grade, there was a Rebbe that sort of many of us didn't want because he didn't accomplish a lot. And so I asked the assistant principal, well,
why do you still have him?
So he said, you know what, the kids love him. And I couldn't get it. It didn't hit me until years later. Told me how the kids will come away with a love.
So we had that with that when Yaakov was in first grade. One of the things that
didn't really connect what
we weren't sure where we were sending. We were living in the Heights at the time we made the decision, and then we ended up moving here in the summer. But we were deciding where to send, and we ended up sending to Yeshiva Ketana Manhattan. And one of the things, again, we thought it was a short term, ended up being for all of elementary school, but the first grade Rebbe there had this personality, and when I spoke to him, and again, he happened to have been an excellent Rebbe and taught them a lot, but the thing that stood out was he said to me, he goes, my goal is to get them to love Torah. Right. I said, I'm in. I said, this is what I want. I said, this is what we're trying to do that at home, and for you to support that.
Right.
And he happened to be, he learned a good amount.
But
it was interesting that in this yeshiva, they actually hired Hasidish Rebbeim for first and second grade specifically for this reason. That the younger Rebbeim is more important and again, they found that these Hasidim had that hergish, had that feeling more, and wanted to give it over. But he was, you know, in first grade to be so proud, you know, Rebbe said this, Rebbe said that. It was unbelievable, and again, it may not have been a value which the learning the Torah, yes, but it's something which it needs to get supported. But his point is that it leaves its imprint, but it's not something that you're going to see a one-to-one correlation, which sometimes, you know, makes people frustrated. We like results, and certainly in schools that's true, because they have to answer to a board who wants results, and the parents that are, you know, coming to look at the school want to see results. So it's complicated. There are other things that our schools could work on also. I mean, a lot of things that everybody could work on. But if there is a way, again, I don't even know what the way is. There are organizations that have tried to put together a curriculum.
I really just think it's mom to mom. I think it's mom.
Well, I think it's mom to kid. Mom to mom can work to create it. But again, that's more important what mom is doing in the house than what mom is, you know, saying with her friends. Again, obviously, it impacts.
Well, what mom is doing outside the house to bring home to the house.
That's okay,
you know,
for sure.
What I'm saying is that if, let's say, there's an idea that you want to imbue, like this idea of, it could be anything, but let's say it's this idea that you want your child to always know Hashem loves you, Hashem's with you all the time. Everything that you need, you go to Hashem. The one who loves you the most is your Father in heaven. That's it, more than mommy and Abba. Hashem loves you even more. And if this is something that parents, if we're discussing among ourselves, whatever it is that we want to accomplish, and moms are sharing information, somehow it's like more, I feel like it's not an organization. It's just real. It's just authentic. It's like...
Okay, so that's true. Again, whether, you know, I think different people, you know, different people look for support in different kinds of conversations.
We all help each other. Let's say there's
it's true.
If there's a sale someplace, you'll tell somebody, oh, there's a sale on whatever, or, you know, whatever, go to whatever store or whatever market.
You know what, everybody, right, no, it's all true, and those are messages. Again, part of what he's saying here is that sometimes those messages, you know, for some kids, hearing that in a direct way is overwhelming.
It doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be, exactly.
So I'm saying, like, having the conversation, like, you're teaching the book right now, and then taking that and real practical examples
right, that's
that moms have used, And then people, it's just kind of like in the air, and then everybody takes what they can from it.
Okay. Again, I think that's part of what we definitely are trying mm-hmm. to create. Whether it's the mom's follow-up or whether we just, it's a different way of thinking. And, sometimes a child will hear it more if, wow, look what Hashem did for me. This is unbelievable. Then, Hashem must love you, because for a child, that message doesn't always get across in the same way. But if it's something that I'm saying about me, and this is the way I feel, then the child picks up on that also. There's no reason for the child to assume that, my relationship, again, if they have a basic belief in Hashem, if Hashem is different, then his or her relationship with Hashem can be. So again, it can be given over in many different ways. But again, but fundamental to it, and what he's trying to point out, is that throughout life, it's certainly true with a little child, but throughout life, this is given over in the way we are, and the way we talk, and the way we act, and the way we respond to things. Mm-hmm. And when we respond out of frustration, yelling and screaming and cursing, it's very hard to at the same time say, it's all hashgacha pratis. Okay, so why were you so upset? So again, it's a process, and everybody's where they are and has to work forward. But that's always the goal. If we were done, we wouldn't be here anymore. God doesn't need us on the earth if we've completed our mission. So we're always looking to do more. But it certainly is the case. Let's one more point somewhat related to this, but a slightly different point, which I think is interesting. So again, the next paragraph he says. His point, which again is an important one, is that once we understand that this is the best way to give over information to a child, then we need to understand that's the best way that we take care of ourselves as well. And if we're trying to absorb the ideas of Emuna and HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the Borei Olam, so it's going to require repetition. It's going to require going through it. There's an interesting point here that I heard once from Rabbi Moshe Weinberger. I think he said it over from Rabbi Tzadok. He said the following point, and it's very, very true. At least I think it is. He says that he explains that our children are like our pneumius, is like our insides. But what he means is this. Parents try to, they want everything to be perfect for their children. And we will do, and again, I think every parent does, hopefully, anything possible for the child to succeed. We will go so far as we will do things that we wouldn't do for ourselves in order for our child to succeed. So why is that? Because at a certain point, we kind of give up and say, okay, well, for me, this is how I am. But I want what's best for my child. So, again, I wouldn't call it living vicariously. That sounds a little bit shallow. But I want at least that, the child that I put onto this, help put onto this earth, should be able to be matzliach and should be able to grow. So, whether it's in the context of school, whether it's in the context of these ideas, I'll have so much more patience in, giving over these lessons to the children than I'll give myself, because it's my child. I haven't quite done it yet. And then I'm where I am. But this is, a blank slate or a cleaner slate. So let me make sure that my child has the ability to succeed. And that's a beautiful idea. But sometimes we need to think, what would I do for my child and do it for ourselves? Because if we sell ourselves short, then we're not doing what we need to do either. We can't give up on ourselves and say, okay, well, this is the way that I am, but I can make sure that, again, the mistakes that I made, it's too late for me. If I, if my parents would have raised me in such a way that I would have heard these lessons in the house, so I'd be, all the way up here. But I don't have that, so I'm done. But I can give it over to my child, so I will do that. So it's beautiful. But there's no reason you have to give up on yourself either. So sometimes the litmus test to figure out what we need to do for ourselves is to think, what would I do for my child? It's true in terms of silly things also. And maybe this is just me, but I would sooner, if one of my kids asks me to get them something from, you know, Lazy Bean or Dunkin' Donuts, I would do it for them before I would do it for myself. I don't spend that money on myself. On that. Like, ridiculous. I don't need these things. But man, I don't know if I could find an excuse to you know, give it to my children and then make it part of a, you know, something that they should, you know, feel special. Whatever it is, the reason is, I would do it for them before I would do it for myself. And again, there are different examples. Maybe that's not the best example for everybody. I think the idea is very true. So what he's saying right here is, if this is the way we do it for our child, so we have to also do it for ourselves. So we have to do it in a different way because we're older. But it doesn't mean that we give up. It doesn't mean that we're satisfied with where we are, because you want me to change? This is the way I've been for X number of years. But it's not true. The same way we would never tell our child, like, you know, this is the way you are. You're stuck, you know. If this, you know, so you're doing this in school, so that's what you are. You know, you're a B student. So maybe, again, there are children that's their best. But if you know that a child can do more, so he's like, let's work together. Let's figure out a way to make it work, because I think you have more potential. I think we can raise those grades together. I think, and again, these are silly examples, or maybe not, but you know, there are things that are more important than school also. But when it comes to when it comes to certain things, we sell ourselves short. And the point that he's making here is that we need to sometimes think, if I would do this for my child, and I would repeat it again and again for my child, and I would make sure to immerse myself in these ideas because I know it's so important, so I have to figure out how to do it for myself. So he says, Yachar emesek ha-tor b'nei kudus ha-gvos, b'pilpo ba'alok, ha-tzarach ha-kachas, ha-tzarach ha-kudu ha-pshuta sheish bar-om, la'avod alel, la-hachdir o-sal ha-lev. So we have to find a way to internalize it. So in this particular context, the same way we understand that we're trying to teach a child something that he or she doesn't know, we have to start from the basics, and we talk about hashkacha pratis, and we talk about, again, different, and again, talk about doesn't mean lecturing. Talk about means it's the conversation, it's the way we talk, and what the child hears. Right, so we don't start with because you give a lecture about hashgacha pratis to a 3-year-old makes no sense. But if you say, you know what happened to me, you know what Hashem did for me, I was driving and this car, you know, cut me off and, you know, missed me by this much, unbelievable. And if I would have left seconds later, whatever, you know, different people see things in different ways. You give an over a deep lesson, but in a way that a child can understand. You have to start patiently and slowly, and again and again. So too with the person's own heart. If you decide, I know there's a Borei Olam, I know there's a Creator, so I'm ready for much deeper. I don't need to sit here listening to the Rabbi every Tuesday talking about the same thing again and again. Wow, we knew this before we started. Why are we sitting here? He says, no, because until we internalize it, we can't jump too far ahead. Because that's no different than the child getting ahead of himself. If we run away from our hearts to our minds, what our minds know, then we're not dealing with our hearts. And we want to try to address the heart. And here is a big pitfall. Because our seichel, our intellect is way ahead of where our heart is, you know, certainly at the ages we all are. Meaning we're not dealing with a child, so we have a lot of knowledge already, but our hearts aren't necessarily there. So if we skip ahead too far, until we've internalized the first initial points for weeks or months even, and we've thought about it even thousands of times on the simple idea that there is a creator of the world and he created every single thing and he created us. We've jumped ahead, and then whatever we try to build on top of it is like a building without a foundation. And we know that a building without a foundation is weak. If we want them to really become rooted in our hearts, is not in our mind. We're not going to appreciate anything necessarily more intellectually one time to the other, but yikotu, that's a little bit rovet, should be in the inner, you know, heart, in a deep way. You have to do it again and again. But it's not exciting, right? Reviewing the same things is not exciting because our seichel is not excited, but our lev doesn't mind. We just have to have the patience to do it. So that's what he finishes off. It has to be the same way with Rabbi, that Rabbi Akiva taught us. Right? But the water drip, 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 drip on top of the rock. It took years until there was a hole in the rock. Right? It doesn't. You don't get a hole if you take a the fireman's hose and blast it at the rock. That's not what's going to make that same hole. What works? Lokim is a tipa pshuta. If you take the simplest drop, but you knock it on the same spot again and again and again. I say diap pshuta sheish borlim atabokim es leiv oeven. Then we can penetrate our hearts that are sometimes like rocks. Achezoch adam shielo leiv basar. Until we have a softer heart. Lokim es advarim. And it may take half a year, may take a year. It may keep going on. Again, it doesn't mean we're not going to move on at the same time, but it has to be something we come back to constantly thinking and reminding ourselves there is a creator of the world. Then things are going to be good. Okay, we didn't cover very much inside, but I think outside we covered some point. Again, so that's the idea of creating the home, creating the atmosphere, making these things that our children absorb, and at the same time, not robbing ourselves of opportunities that we would give our children, and giving ourselves the same patience that we would have to go over these things and to think about these things and to internalize these things for our children. So we have to sometimes be a little bit selfish and do it for ourselves as well. Okay. Have a good day.